and they don't feed the flock, but the flock is diseased and falling to pieces in the sight of God. Now, the actual church may look wonderful. They may have thousands of people attending, and they've got an awesome band, and they've got an auditorium, and they've got a coffee shop and a bookshop and classrooms and a weight room. I mean, and all this junk that has nothing to do. I mean, it's nice to have a place where the believers can gather together, but nobody ever wants to talk about the things we believe. Let's talk about the things we did in the weight room. Let's talk about the things we did in the coffee shop. Let's talk about the TV show that we find the most amusing. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. But let's not talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not talk about our walk in Him. Let's not talk about the righteousness, which is by faith. Let's not talk about the things of faith, which we, the things we believe in. Let's not talk about that. Let's rather do this, do that. Let's listen to the band. Let's sit and listen to the minister as he talks about something that's totally unprofitable to us for eternal life. I remember, if my neighbor ever listens to this, he'll probably have to grimace to himself. But he brought me to his local church, and they had, the subject was unwrapping sex. And it's a gift from God, and unwrapping it, like sort of, like we needed that. Like I need to be told, it's okay for you husbands and wives to enjoy sex. And there's single people in there thinking, yeah, you know. I mean, it makes me think of the thing where Paul in the book of Acts says, you know, one of you has to eat, the other one has nothing. One guy is scourging himself and drunk, the other guy has nothing. You know, and here you are talking about sex, and there's a bunch of single people in the audience, as well as married people, and you have to somehow tell them, you know, it's like, well, it's not for you. Avoid fornication, get a wife, so on and so forth. But we have to be told, oh, it's okay for you married people to have sex. It's a gift from God. Like, that's what? That makes going to church more exciting for people? They can hear about, oh, carnal, you know, hey, and it's okay to eat, too. Hey, let's have unwrapping food. Unwrapping food. It's okay to eat. Food is good. God gave us food as a gift that we could live and enjoy life. You fools. Do you think that is what Christ came? That we can understand that carnality is okay? Because we have to be somewhat carnal. We're in the flesh. But we ought to not walk like we are in the flesh. Paul says, let's walk after the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. But in the Spirit, while you yet walk in the flesh, laying aside carnality, laying aside the fleshly lust, walking in righteousness, uprightness, and godliness. But we got to talk about all this just unprofitable. Oh, people say, oh, I get profit. I mean, I was really edified. You don't even know what edifying means, really. I mean, all kinds of things are edifying, but not when it pertains to salvation, not when it pertains to obtaining the things from God that are needful for His kingdom's sake. To me, edification is when you're built up in Christ. When you're being edified, it means you are being literally built up and like you're growing up and being fed to become like Jesus Christ as a person in the flesh, as a reflection of Him. Maybe a reflection seen as through a glass darkly, but a reflection nonetheless, becoming clearer and clearer as your walk becomes closer and closer to that ideal. You want to be chief among the servants of Christ. Become like Christ, a servant to all. Who was the greatest of all, became the least of all. Who deserved nothing but good things, and the graciousness of God ought to have been poured out on him in the things of this world. He ought to have had kingdoms and powers and glory and honor and blessing, as it says in the book of Revelation. But no, rather he chose scorn and scourging and mocking and spitting. That is what he chose. He took the humble path. As we ought also to take the humble path and not seek aggrandizement in the earth. Not to become wealthy in things of carnality or wealthy in the things of riches, but rather to become wealthy in the things of the Spirit of God. To lay up our treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. To give up things of this world. To give up the unholiness, the ungodliness, the sinful lusts. To give up the things that we find pleasurable and distracting in this world, and rather to give ourselves to God and give ourselves to the knowledge of Christ and give ourselves over to something better than we are, something higher than we are, and lay up our treasures, our thoughts, our emotions, our attachment should be in heaven, where we possess something, where we possess the treasure of eternal life. That is the treasure I'm interested in. Was there something else? Is it silver and gold? Is it rubies? Is it pastries? Is it 70 virgins? No, it is rather righteousness, holiness, godliness, honor, power, and glory, and eternal life laid up in store for us in heaven. That is the treasure. That is the treasure. And the knowledge and sonship of God, that we would become His sons, that is what is laid up for us there. Not like that's the funny thing is people think, oh, I have treasure in heaven. It's like cars and houses and boats and this and that and the carnal thing. And though Christ, He did make reference to forsaken homes or brethren or sisters or lands, shall receive a hundredfold in His kingdom and inherit eternal life. And in His kingdom there is possessions of like lands and homes, but it is a home in a spiritual sense, that we have a home with God, that we have a place in His kingdom, that we have space, that there is space there made for us, a place for us to abide. Not merely then, but also now, because the kingdom of God is from within us. It comes into us, is what I should say. Not from, like it emanates from me. But it comes down from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Jesus did not come to make slaves, but to be a slave. He did not come to be ministered to have people serve Him and be His butler. God is so good compared to the way man thinks of God. God is so much better. They want God to be even. He isn't even. He's generous. Oh, but He's not generous. Then they say, well, He should be generous to all. That's not for you to decide. He's not generous enough for you. Even though you already are getting a fair wage. In fact, in the world, it isn't even like this parable in chapter 20 of the where they were paid a day's wage. They're paid like double the rate. They're paid an exorbitant rate, and He doesn't owe them anything. Oh, but truth, God is good. Man despises the goodness of God. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 2, I believe. He said, he talks about the judgment of God, right? Chapter 2, 1, 2. We are sure that the judgment of God, according to truth, against people who commit such things, all the sins listed in chapter 1. But do you think you're going to escape when you do those things? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, you who God has led to repent? And then you say, God isn't fair? You just despise that He's long-suffering with people. Oh, no, I don't. I just think He ought to be more long-suffering with other people. Again,